As we go to God's word this evening, be thinking about three words: always, nothing, and love. I'll read from three passages of scripture this evening, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Paul wrote, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." And from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And finally, from John chapter 13, verse 33 through 35, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Always. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul indicates that he and his associates are always in their bodies carrying the death of Jesus. What does Paul mean by this odd statement? What does it mean to carry in the body the death of Jesus? Make no mistake, Paul understands that Jesus' death was a unique event that happened at a particular time in history and a particular place in history. Nevertheless, he also recognizes that the afflictions and hardships that he experiences are a manifestation of the deadness of Christ. Now, for a believer, for a disciple of Jesus, to participate in the sufferings of Jesus is something we ought to experience. We should anticipate suffering. But all people suffer, not just believers. However, the believer suffers with a connection to what Christ has been through in a way that a non-believer would not. The believer participates in the suffering of Christ to a lesser degree, and without any saving effect, but Scripture tells us that the experience of the believer in suffering is connected to the suffering of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about in these verses. But one of the questions I wrestled with as I considered this idea of Paul and his associates always carrying in their body the death of Jesus was whether or not this was just a physical experience. Did this only pertain to his physical body? Well, in studying this, I came across a commentary by James Denny, who was a Scottish theologian and preacher from the 1800s, who wrote an excellent book on the atonement. He also wrote a commentary on Corinthians, and he speaks to these verses. He says, "The use of body and of mortal flesh in these verses has been appealed to in support of an interpretation which would limit the meaning to what is merely physical. That is, I am in daily danger of death. God daily delivers me from it, and thus the life of Jesus is manifested in me. This is, of course, included in the interpretation given above, but I cannot suppose it is all the apostle meant. The truth is, there is no such thing in the passage, or indeed in human life, as a merely physical experience. To be delivered to death for Jesus' sake is an experience which is at once physical and spiritual." So what Denny is suggesting there is that as disciples, as we follow Paul's example, we are to always carry in our bodies the death of Jesus. But not only in our bodies are we to carry the death of Jesus. We are also to carry in our minds and in our hearts and in our souls the death of Jesus. And this isn't only necessary as part of our everyday life and experience as believers, but we need to realize that it leads to the manifestation of the resurrection life of Jesus in our bodies and in our souls. Maundy Thursday is a great time to intentionally and to purposefully carry the death of Jesus in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. And as we do so, as we always carry in our body and mind and soul and heart the death of Jesus, we realize and need to always remember that it was our sin that put him on the cross. It was our sin that required death. We need to always remember that as we always carry in our body and souls the death of Jesus. We should be able to sing with conviction the words from How Great the Father's Love for Us. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. See, Maundy Thursday is a day to always carry in our whole being the death of Jesus and to always remember it was my sin that required his death. And in doing so, as approaching Easter weekend, that in that way, in doing that on Maundy Thursday, and in fact on every day of the year, we align ourselves with Paul's approach as he describes in 1 Corinthians. Nothing. Paul, in his interaction with the Corinthians, decided to know nothing except Jesus and his death. Again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." To know nothing does not mean that Paul cast aside every particle of knowledge he had, but rather he had the gospel and its crucified king as his singular focus and his singular passion while he was among the Corinthians. In his heart and in his mind, Paul did not throw out his knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. He did not jettison his understanding of justification. He did not throw out his awareness of church polity or his grasp of the necessity of repentance or anything else with which he had previously renewed his mind. But at the very forefront and in the very center of his thinking and affections was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified certainly means to ponder and to meditate and to examine and to reflect and to evaluate and to contemplate the death of Jesus. But we must remember that in pondering and meditating and examining and reflecting and evaluating and contemplating, these things are meant to be more than just an exercise of our brains. These things are meant to provide fuel for the fire of the affections of our heart. A well-known hymn about the atonement describes this impact that Christ's death has upon the heart. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The always carrying in the body and soul the death of Jesus is for the purpose of worship. The knowing nothing but Jesus and him crucified has its ambition, the adoration of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, for us at West London Alliance Church, as it was explained to me when I became an apprentice here, before I had ever even heard of a Maundy Thursday, I didn't know what Maundy Thursday was. I couldn't understand why people were saying 2 days of the week beside each other. What's Monday Thursday? But it was explained to me that Maundy Thursday was an evening to gather, an evening that was, in the time of Jesus, hours before his suffering began in earnest, to take up a burden, though it's a light burden, but to take up a burden of carrying in our bodies and in our minds and our souls the death of Jesus and knowing nothing but him crucified. It was understanding that prerequisite to taking up my own cross was the need to take up Jesus' cross in my mind and in my heart, that I might have my mind renewed and my affections inflamed. Christ's sacrificial and savoring suffering is meant to enrapture us and excite us and elevate our exaltation to God. Knowing nothing but Jesus and him crucified reminds us that there is nothing but his death that can cleanse us from our sin. There is nothing but his death which can cleanse us from our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So this Maundy Thursday evening, let us purpose to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And let us endeavor to always carry in the body and in the soul the death of Jesus, that we might, with gravity and gladness, glorify God. Now, this is something we can purpose to do in a practice that is particular to disciples of Jesus post-resurrection. On the very first Maundy Thursday, the disciples were largely unaware of what was about to transpire. Nevertheless, we still share some things with them on that Maundy Thursday. On that Maundy Thursday, Jesus met with the disciples. And it was then that he instituted the Lord's table, communion, which we will share together this evening. But there was something else that Jesus gave the disciples that connects with us on this Maundy Thursday. Something that he shared with his disciples before they left that upper room. And he was tortured and crucified. Love. Maundy Thursday is the day we commemorate the mandate that Jesus gave his disciples. Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, or commandment. It was on the Thursday of Christ's final week, before he was crucified, that he spoke a commandment to his disciples. Jesus and his disciples had just shared what we now call the Last Supper. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and then he made this statement: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Now, this mandate or commandment gives us a very practical way to apply knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. It gives us a very practical way to apply always carrying in our body and mind and heart and soul the death of Jesus. We desire that as our minds focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as our minds focus on the death of Jesus, that that will make its way into our heart. And the Holy Spirit will use those wonderful truths to inflame our affections, that we won't be moved to worship and gratitude. But we want it not to stop in our heart, but move from our head to our heart to our hands, so that it actually changes the way we live our lives, so that we might walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And it's Christ's mandate on Maundy Thursday, the first Maundy Thursday, that points the way. Love one another, just as I have loved you. The application is to love, but the specification is to love as Christ loved. Now, how has Christ loved us? His actions following giving that mandate later that night and the next day describe for us and explain for us what Christ's love is like. It's a sacrificial love. Jesus loved his disciples to the point of death on a cross. Jesus' death on the hill called Calvary is the epitome of sacrificial love. I have quite a collection of books on the atonement, and one of them has a particular title that is appropriate in light of this. It's called Death by Love. How has Christ loved us? Sacrificially. And Christ's mandate is that we are to love one another with that sacrificial love. And though we will never walk in it perfectly, Jesus instructs us so, and so we endeavor to obey. But how? How can we love one another so selflessly? Well, let me suggest to you that the very thing we've been talking about, always carrying in our body and souls the death of Jesus and knowing nothing but Jesus and Him crucified, is the very means of obedience to the mandate that Jesus gave. The cross and the cross alone provides for us the godly ambition and the spiritual ability to love each other sacrificially. That commandment is a commandment that comes with a beautiful promise. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Theologian D.A. Carson says, the new command is therefore not only the obligation of the new covenant community to respond to the God who has loved them and redeemed them by the oblation of His Son, and the response to His gracious election which constituted them His people. It is a privilege which, rightly lived out, proclaims the true God before a watching world. Brothers and sisters, we desperately need this in our church family. We need sacrificial love empowered by the love of Christ as demonstrated on the cross. We need this to be the very currency of our fellowship, especially in these days. Maundy Thursday is named after Jesus' mandate or His command that we love one another as He loved us, which He would go on to demonstrate through His suffering and death on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Brothers and sisters, we need this from each other, but the world, the unbelieving world, needs to see this and experience this love as well. They need to see it and experience it that they might turn from their sins and turn to the One who sacrificially and lovingly laid down His life. We need people to know us as those who love each other sacrificially, that they might see in it the sacrifice that saves them from their sin if they believe in Jesus. And so let me encourage you this Maundy Thursday evening to meditate on three words: always, nothing, and love. We always carry the death of Jesus in our heart, souls, mind, and body, always remembering that it was our sin that required His death. We know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. And there is nothing but the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from our sin. And we ought to love one another as he has loved us. In a few moments, we have an opportunity to literally carry the death of Jesus in our hearts and in our bodies through participation in communion, which was also instituted on the first Maundy Thursday. And from there, we will end our time together by knowing nothing but Christ and him crucified through song. But my prayer is, my encouragement is, my admonition is this evening that as you leave, nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified will be on your mind and heart and soul. And that always in your mind and heart and soul and body you will carry the death of Jesus. And that as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection life of Jesus on Sunday, that you will love one another. Always, nothing, and love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this teaching of Paul and this explanation of how he saw his life as a disciple. And we pray that you would help us by your Spirit, that you would help each one of us to always carry in our body and soul the death of Jesus and to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Father God, we pray that those glorious truths, as we understand them with our minds, your Spirit would move them into our hearts. And there they would inflame our affections that we might worship and love God. And from there they would move to our hands that we might practically live them out by loving one another sacrificially. And we pray that the world might see us loving each other even as you loved us and see in it the great sacrifice that your Son suffered for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.